Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Number one for the one and only DNVR. Two goes out to Zach Mays, Arcade
and the Bar.
Three for Mr. B in that old trophy case. Number four we're still waiting for. Well, bring on the chase. Out on the field, mile high, Broncos win is our desire. Couple with Breck, brew and a friend, bleed orange and blue to the bitter end. Come and join us, DDNVR. We are DNVR.
Welcome in to the DNVR Broncos post game, coming to you from the Losers Lounge.
The Losers Lounge? I mean, they covered the spread, Ryan.
From the 11th pick at the worst lounge?
Yes, exactly, exactly. Tomorrow can only be good news.
I was trying to start a top 10 pick chant in the stands.
People weren't feeling it. Yeah, it didn't catch on.
I thought it had legs.
It's because
me and this like 8-year-old kid, we were belting it.
Oh wow, 8-year-old knew what was up. Smartest guy in the stands outside you. I'll tell you what though, it's because Ryan, the Broncos played a much better game than anyone thought. I mean,
sure
you
did.
Thought they were going to get blown out. I thought they were going to get blown out. Mace thought they were going to get blown out. We thought people were going to be having to drink because it was going to be a 25-point loss. Instead, people were drinking for fun because it was a close game. So that's why I think people at the end of the game wanted to beat the Chiefs. And
yes,
as the game kept going and people said, oh my God, the Broncos aren't losing at the end of the first quarter. Oh my God, the Broncos are up at halftime. Oh, the Broncos are going into the fourth quarter for the first time in like multiple years against the Chiefs with a lead. You got to be kidding me. We'll take this win. And then you know what? At the end of the day, the Broncos did what was best for the draft pick. And I'm curious if Vic Fangio maybe did it on purpose. Played for the draft pick.
Oh, what a take. Oh, yeah. Let's go, boys.
And speaking of good vibes, great vibes here at the DNVR bar. I don't even know if you guys can hear me because the Avs just scored to make it a 4-2 game. And DNVR bar, a little pop in here on a Saturday night.
That was big.
It was.
You know what? The bar. Okay, so let me just take you through my day. Wasn't planning on going to the game at all.
I feel like that's how every game you go to starts with.
It is. But those are the best, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you don't have that, like, I feel like most people can relate to this, especially post-pandemic. That feeling of having plans just sucks. I love the idea of not having plans and then spontaneously stumbling upon tickets in the fifth row. Shout out Henry Chisholm and his family. So decided to go to the game. Wasn't too cold. Weather was nice. And so I was like, let's do it. And the vibes in the stands were so good.
Yeah.
Like, that was truly a great time. Now, it can't compare to the Chargers game, which is the other one I went to this season. But other than that, I think I went to four games this season. This was fun. Everyone had a good time. The Broncos played well. Players were making big plays. Like the throw that Drew Lock had to Tim Patrick on 3rd and 14. Just like, it was a fun time. And then honestly, post game ride back on the bus, good vibes. Everyone has a good time. Obviously, people are mad about a few different scenarios that happened in the game, and we'll talk about them. But my overarching take is that this was a perfect scenario for the Broncos. No one wants to hear that today. You might be more willing to listen to it tomorrow.
I'm curious if you mean Broncos or if you mean George Payton.
Well, we'll talk about that. But I think for the Broncos, you played with them. You outplayed the Chiefs. Straight up. You made one really, really, really bad mistake that cost you the game. And
curious which one that is.
Well, that
because I think I agree with you, but I think a lot of fans would disagree with you.
Okay, well, obviously it's the fumble.
Yep.
Now, I got a lot of people in my mentions. So I've got both sides in my mentions because I tweeted out an Appreciate Melvin Gordon tweet when he was averaging like 10 yards a carry and a touchdown.
Yep. Literally, and 13 yards per carry probably when you tweeted that.
Yes. And it's like every time you want to back him up, something happens to make you look like an idiot. And
Ryan, we have our king of the game. He easily would have been king of the game without that fumble.
He was a lock for king of the game. Yep. I literally turned to Henry the play before he fumbled it and said, oh my God, he's averaging 10 yards a carry.
Yep.
And it's just such a bummer for Melvin. And it's not all his fault. But
it is not.
You cannot put the ball on the ground there. It's unacceptable in every sense of the word. So he should not have been hit 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage when he's trying to gather the ball. But that is a lock for a field goal to give you a touchdown lead in the late fourth quarter, man. A perfect drive up to that point. Everything was working. You were running clock. You were converting third downs. Everything was working perfectly. And you have, I don't know how that can happen twice in one season, where a running back can fumble the ball on drives that were so integral to the game and have them end up in scooping scores that sink the team in the game for like 80 yards. How does that happen twice in one season?
Yeah, we're not even talking about the other fumbles that didn't lead to touchdowns the other way, but that were still crucial fumbles.
The Eagles game and this game, honestly, you can make a case. And the Eagles game got out of hand after that, but you can make a case if you take those two fumbles away, the Broncos are a playoff team.
Yeah, yeah. And it's unfortunate because Melvin Gordon has had, dare I say, a fantastic year here in Denver. Outside of those plays, obviously huge plays, but Ryan, of course, I agree with you. That was the play that changed the Broncos' outcome. I think the Broncos win if that fumble just doesn't happen. The Broncos probably score a touchdown on that drive, but even if they don't, like you said, they have a touchdown lead. Instead, they're playing from behind, and we know this team is not built from behind. And also, I mean, it was easy to tell that everything was sucked out of the stadium. The life was sucked out of the stadium. The defense, when they went out for the two-point conversion, you could tell that they were lagging, and it was just something we've seen for the past 5 and 6 years was this again, this again. And it was just the Broncos weren't going to be able to overcome that no matter what. And then, of course, there was the other decision, Ryan. The decision, and some may say play, it was a decision that Vic Fangio, 4th and 9, he decides to kick the field goal with about 4 minutes left instead of go for it. What did you think about it?
I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And I understand the thought process behind it, because you know what? One play into the Chiefs' drive, they were in field goal range. And so it was, or maybe it was a couple plays. But shortly into there, it was like, oh, that's why he did it. Because now they're in field goal range, and if you hold them for a field goal, you still have a chance. So that part of it makes sense. But come on, man. It's the last game of the season. You're playing against the Chiefs. What do you possibly have to lose?
You know what it was, Ryan? It was Matt LaFleur last year against the Tampa Bay Bucks. What did he say after the game? If Aaron Rodgers would have got a couple of yards instead of it being, I don't know what their situation was, 4th and 7 or something, instead of it being 4th and 9, if it was 4th and 6, I think Fangio goes for it. The fact that Drew threw an incompletion, not putting that entirely on him. I don't even remember the third down play right now.
I don't either.
But if they get a couple of yards, I think Fangio goes for it. And that's what he said after the game. He said, and I love this. I think this was a jab at media and fans. He said, He pointed to analytics. That was the first thing he did, Ryan. A guy who we think is not about analytics pointed to analytics and said, analytics will tell you that you are not going to convert 4th and 9. You know what? He's right about that.
He is right.
And so he kicks a field goal. And look, the Chiefs were starting to pick up momentum. And they had, 28 points or 18 points in the second half at that point. Now, some of that was from their defense getting that touchdown. But he just said, they're going to get the field goal. If I go for it on 4th and miss and the Chiefs get in field goal range, the game is absolutely over. So I do see where he's coming from. But at the end of the game.
In a meaningless game.
At the end. And, Brian, here's my thing, too. At the end of the day, if you
never
don't
touch
get
the ball
that,
again.
If you don't get that too, you're setting them up within the 10-yard line. Your defense, they have to go 55 yards to get in field goal range. If they're going to do that, they're probably going to do that anyway, and you're going to lose the game anyway. Yep. So I do actually, I'm not as tough on Vic as I think a lot of other people are because I understand where he's coming from. I do think it was the wrong decision, though.
Just have some balls, man. Who was it that had the quote about putting your balls on the table?
Patrick Waugh.
Patrick Waugh had the balls on the table quote. Thank you, AJ. Sometimes you just got to say, F it.
Yep.
Especially in week 17 when you have nothing to lose.
Yep.
And you never touch the ball again in the game. So that right there is all I need to know.
And how about this? It was another game where the defense under Vic Fangio needs to come up with the stop. They didn't even have to come, because he kicked the field goal, they
just
didn't
had to
have
hold
to
for
come
a field
up.
Goal.
Exactly. That's all they had to do, and they had it. 3rd and 3, and the Chiefs jump, have a false start, and it's like, oh my gosh, they weren't going to stop him on 3rd and 3. I absolutely believe that. But then I'm like, 3rd and 8, they could do this. And then, no, there's a wide open Travis Kelce who comes up with the catch. Game over, and that was it. The Broncos didn't touch the ball again.
That's what's unacceptable to me is, look, you had to score a touchdown at some point. Even post-field goal, you still had to score a touchdown to win the game. You were as close as you were ever going to get to scoring a touchdown. And you gave it up. And that, to me, is just unacceptable. And again, it's just like, dude, what did you have to lose? Really? You're playing game management week 17 against the Chiefs when you have nothing to lose?
What's unfortunate for Vic is he thought that was the best football decision, and especially because the Broncos lost, is that going to cost him his job? Is going with what he thought was analytics was the best decision in his mind, is that going to be the one that came back and cost him his job? Because, Ryan, if he goes for it on 4th down, and let's say he doesn't get it, I don't think fans are pissed at him. And the Broncos lose by 7 or whatever it ends up being, 10. Mm. The Chiefs go down, kick a field goal to end the game. I don't think fans are mad at him.
Nope.
And then I think this is a much more interesting conversation in fans' mind. But my question is, did that decision end Vic Fangio's tenure in your mind?
I think it's a really, really interesting question. And I want to talk a lot about it. First, I got to say this. Of all the times to all of a sudden put a bunch of trust in Drew Lock, this was the time. This was the time where you said, you know what? I think we can get a stop and Drew Lock can drive us at least 75 yards or whatever it's going to be, 70, 75 yards down the field to win the game. This is the time you decide to believe in Drew Lock?
Or was it the opposite? I don't trust Drew Lock to get me 9 yards.
Well, if you don't trust him to get you 9, how do you trust him to get you 75?
Fair.
That's what it was like, really? Now? This is when you want to play the Drew's got our back.
Just inconsistencies, right?
It is inconsistency.
And that's something we've said. And also kind of why I laugh at Vic pointing to analytics is because so often he's kind of gone against the conventional analytics. Sure, this would play into the analytics of not really getting it on 4th and 9. I'm curious what the analytics said to the overall picture of you're down by 7 points now with 4 minutes left as a field goal. Help you more. I know there's like coward.
The coward ratings.
Predictions out there.
I bet you it's going to be high on
that. You know, Andy Reid had one today that was 99.4% cowardly decision to punt the ball. So it wasn't just Vic, but Vic obviously.
If I had Patrick Mahomes, I would literally never punt.
Yeah. Oh,
I wouldn't even have a punter on my roster.
Yeah, you would have almost gone with the Broncos plan today, which was to not have a punter. And by the way, shout out to Sam Martin for actually really proving his worth in this game.
Yeah,
we were joking
boomers.
About how the Broncos may be better off without him and Brandon McManus. No, I mean, Sam Martin kept the Broncos in the game.
Yeah, he had some bangers. Okay, I want to talk about whether that costs Vic his job or not. But first, I want to tell you to come down here, hang out. Come out to the DNVR bar. I've been recommending the chicken sandwich. I sold the chicken sandwich to every person on the bus. So I have a feeling they're probably cooking up a lot of
chicken. I was going to say, were they frying them up on the bus then?
No.
If you're selling them right there?
I literally just... telling everyone about the chicken sandwich. They're probably making like 100 back there right now.
They're probably out.
They might be, so sorry if you do. It's still Saturday. It's early on Saturday night. Why don't you come down right now?
I'm so confused at what day it is. So absolutely, you should come down right now. We got
we
Saturday
might get
night
lit
football,
after this.
Abs. We got it all. Heck, maybe we stay up long enough today to find out that Vic Fangio was gone or that he's back early in the morning.
Here's my promise. If the Avs come back and win this game, I'll be here until close.
Why is that an issue? It's not Sunday.
It's not?
Yeah. I thought you said, here's the issue.
Oh, no, I said that's my promise.
Oh, promise. Yeah. I thought you said problem.
So if you want to come down, hang out, come get yourself a chicken sandwich, wash it down with a Breck brew, come hang out at the DNVR bar. You're going to love it here. Packed full of Broncos and Avs fans right now, all fraternizing together. It's like peace on earth.
Ryan, regardless of Vic Fangio's future, do you think there's going to be changes in Denver?
Yeah, big changes.
Big changes. So that means there's probably going to be some homes on the market. And if you're looking to buy or sell, you should contact our friends Michael and Virginia Chevalier over at Chevalier Mortgage. You can even give Virginia a call directly at 303-257-6578 or visit them at dnvrmortgage.com. And not only will you get set up with some free DNVR gear, your choice of a hat or shirt of your choice, but you'll also have the opportunity to get a free consultation from them. That's right. Free. You don't have to pay for it in order to get the info you need on whether you should go with them or not. And here's what separates them. Michael Chevalier is a certified financial planner, meaning he looks at more than just an interest rate, which is something that separates them big time in the game. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance, make sure to check them out over at dnvrmortgage.com. That's Michael and Virginia Chevalier over at Chevalier Mortgage. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631.
Also, got to give a shout out to our friends at Breck Brew. I mentioned them briefly there. I'm drinking one right now. Had a couple earlier today in the morning. Had some at the tailgate. Had one at the game. Having one here now.
My guess is you're also having one after.
I will have several after. Like I said, especially if the Avs come back and win this game, then we'll really make it rain in here. Shout out Breck Brew, always supplying us with the best. I also wore my Breck Brew Broncos Country jacket to the game today. Probably my piece of clothing that gets the single most compliments.
Oh, yeah, of course.
People love that. And that's the job of clothes, is to get you compliments.
Hey, absolutely.
So shout out Breck Brew. Always has our back.
Absolutely, it does. So, Ryan, the big question. Is he back? Does that decision help or hurt his chances? And also something we haven't really talked about. The Broncos lost by only 4 points. They covered the spread by a touchdown. They were much better than any of us thought. Does that also give Fangio some cred? Does that give him a big nod in the cap to go forward this year and be the coach in 2022?
Oh, man. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just going to apologize in advance because I know you don't want to hear this.
Oh, he's bringing him back.
I think he's back. I think he's back. First of all, you can point to that fourth down. It was cowardly as hell. But the Broncos are going to win that game if Melvin Gordon doesn't fumble the ball. Mm. And I think that weighs a lot. They had the game in their hands until they didn't. And I swear I had like a premonition that was going to happen. I was like, just something bad's going to happen. My lock of the week on the tailgate was pain. There it was.
You're right.
There it was. Pain was evident.
That was pain.
And I could just...
A different pain than most of us thought.
Yes. Well, but that was really painful.
It was. It was. Because this was like, you know, if you get eliminated in The Bachelor on the first episode, that's like embarrassing pain. But if you get eliminated at the final rose and you go up there thinking you're about to propose to the love of your life and then you get broken up with, that's what today was. That is the pain that rips your heart out.
So here's why I think Vic Fangio is going to be back. And it has very little to do with today.
Oh.
I don't think today really... I think that if you wanted to bring him back, today builds the case in your head. If you wanted to get rid of him, today builds the case in your head. And I think they wanted to bring him back, so they'll find the ways to piece it together. And here's the number one reason. We talked about this all week. No one really wanted to listen to it then. But if this does happen, I think people will listen to it now. The ownership thing. I don't think the Broncos want to go through this whole hiring process without an owner. And then you come in, there's a new owner, there's a whole new process. That owner is going to want to be involved in this. And I think they can convince themselves that Vic Fangio is good enough to go for one more year. He's already under contract. You're going to pay him anyway. There's another reason. Check another box off. I think he has that going in his favor. I think George Payton really likes Vic Fangio, and he wants Vic Fangio to succeed. He's got that going in his favor. You know, the numbers of top-tier quarterbacks against this defense, that's going in his favor. I hear you guys. You don't have to tell me. I'm with you. If it was me, he'd be out. But I think they're going to bring him back, and I feel a responsibility to prepare people for that possibility.
Ryan, before the game on Thursday, on our last pod before, you and Mace both said he's gone, although you said it was close. I said 55% chance he's back. Before that fourth down call, I was at 65% chance that he was back. That fourth down call brought me down to 51% that he's back. So I am with you. And here's the thing. A lot of
tinfoil hat? I got something for you.
A lot of people that did not want Vic Fangio back said, you cannot judge this one game on whether or not he should be back. Then why should you judge one play if he should be back or not? You probably shouldn't. That's just very inconsistent thinking. And here comes a tinfoil hat. And Ryan, why I think he's back is, what have we heard or not heard this entire week? George Payton had a very legitimate opportunity to fire him 2 weeks ago. Had an opportunity to fire him last week. And it would have helped the Broncos in their coaching search. He didn't. And then, so what have we heard? Everything that has come out of the Broncos has been, George Payton wants to keep Vic Fangio. Just can he? If the general manager wants to keep the head coach, he should. He should. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. This fourth down decision was terrible. I don't think George Payton's going to like it. But you know what I think George Payton's going to like more? A whole body of work against the Kansas City Chiefs, who were supposed to come in here, who were supposed to destroy you, and he had the team ready to play. George Payton wants to keep Vic Fangio, and I think this game, despite the fourth down, was enough to do it.
All right, here we
go. Here's a tinfoil hat coming on. You can even hear the tinfoil.
So you think George Payton didn't like the fourth down?
Ah.
I think there's a chance, if we're going tinfoil hat theories,
yep,
I think there's a chance that that was the closest you'll ever see to the Denver Broncos tanking.
Ah.
I think that there is a legitimate possibility that George met with Vic yesterday, said, I'd love to see you keep this game close. I want to see this team be competitive. And I also want to see you guys lose.
And in that, it was kind of a promise.
And in that, it was conveyed that, look, you guys play them tight. You play them, you fight. You look decent out there. I'll have a reason to bring you back.
Mm.
But I don't want you guys to win the game.
Mm.
I don't want us to win the game, is what he would have said.
And Ryan, this is a tinfoil hat moment, but we learned this morning that Vic did meet with George Payton later this week to talk about his future.
And look, this is very, remember, I have a tinfoil hat on. Don't take me out of context on Twitter. But I think it's actually a possibility. You know, we're not privy to these conversations that go down. And maybe it's said in a way that both guys can kind of cover their asses to say, like, we weren't actually tanking. But that lack of decision to go for it is so cowardly that I had to, like, it brings me to places like this where I think, does Vic know he's back and he's tanking because he wants the better pick and George Payton wants the better pick? I legitimately think, like, I do have the tinfoil hat on, but I don't think there's a 0% chance of that being the truth.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm buying it. You know what? If Vic Fangio is coming back, it's because him and George are on the exact same page,
yep,
right?
Yep.
It's not because Vic was too good and George didn't want to bring him back, but he couldn't convince the fan base that it was best to fire him. Absolutely not. The fan base wants him gone.
Yep.
George Payton really likes Vic Fangio, so if he comes back, it's because they're on the exact same page. Not just on the exact same page. Brian, I think it's very clear if Vic comes back, George Payton's making the hire of the offensive coordinator. Because you know what George Payton hasn't done yet? He hasn't made an offensive coordinator hire. John Elway has made an offensive coordinator hire under the Vic Fangio era. Vic Fangio has made an offensive coordinator hire under the Vic Fangio era. And now George Payton may get his shot. And by the way, it's just crazy that in a four-year span, Vic Fangio may survive three different offensive coordinators and just, like, continue to put the blame on someone else. And understandably so. I mean, I get it. But that's pretty crazy. But there is certainly enough reason, as frustrating as that one decision was, that is easily looked past. And I think that's how George Payton would explain it. He would say, look, the game itself is way bigger than just that one decision.
It really is. And listen, I know, like, a lot of people wanted us to come on here and ask for heads to roll, which both of us are on board with. If the Broncos fire Vic Fangio tomorrow, I'm going to come on here and say it was the right decision. But I don't want everyone to be completely blindsided if they come out and say what both of us are leaning towards, because I think I'm higher than you now. I'm at like 55% Vic stays.
Yeah.
You got to be prepared for it. And I think here's the last thing I'll say as why I think George Payton might keep Vic Fangio is exactly what Vic Fangio said after the game, which he was conveying a very, very pointed message when asked, what's the difference between you and the rest of the AFC West? What did he say? Quarterback. And he is right. And he is 100% right. The difference between the Denver Broncos and even the Las Vegas Raiders, of course the Chargers and the Chiefs, is the quarterback position. You switch the quarterback from either the Chargers or the Chiefs to the Broncos. They're in first place. And this team is legit if they have a legit quarterback. Now, we could have a whole Drew Lock discussion, because I'm willing to go there, about how, you know, what I said 2 weeks ago, which was that starting Teddy was a mistake from the start. But it doesn't really, you know, that doesn't, I've done that so many times that I don't want to do it again today.
Ryan, as the Av song comes on right now, all the small things, that's just a small thing.
That is a small thing.
In the big
point.
Conversation going but forward. But
this team is a quarterback away, and that is the only difference between them and the rest of the AFC West.
And that's exactly, people were so pissed about this Vic Fangio quote after the game. It was actually our very own Andrew Mason that asked him this question. And Vic said, and the question was, what's the difference between you and the rest of the AFC West? Because the rest of the AFC West is still in the playoff hunt. Of course, Chiefs in it.
And you got two wins against that division in the last 2 years.
Exactly. Yes.
Right? Is that correct?
2-10 in the last 2 years. And Vic said, those other three teams have top shelf quarterbacks, which is obvious to everyone. Fans hated that. You hate Vic when he lies to you. He's telling you the freaking truth.
It's the 100% truth.
And it is the truth. Now, is it throwing your quarterbacks under the bus? Yeah, is it telling the truth? Absolutely. And that's why, Ryan, this decision on the head coach is not the most important decision that George Payton makes this year. If he keeps Vic Fangio and gets Aaron Rodgers, you know what? Matt LaFleur is going to
look like a genius.
Matt LaFleur is going to look really bad next year, and Vic Fangio is going to look real damn good next year.
Yep.
If he gets Kirk Cousins next year, which I am not advocating for, Broncos are in the playoffs, because you know what? He had a top 15 quarterback, borderline top 10 quarterback. Derek Carr, same exact thing. That's the most important decision that if George Payton goes out and hires Nathaniel Hackett, a guy that's really high on so many people's boards right now, and they keep Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, you know what? Broncos are going to be in the exact same position they are.
Everyone's
so this decision doesn't matter. Yeah. Everyone's going to hate him. So Vic Fangio, the truth hurts, and it really hurt Broncos fans after the game.
How could you be hurt about that? It's the facts.
It is. It's brutally honest.
You know it. No one is sitting there shocked that he said that. It's 100% the truth.
Yep.
Derek Carr is two notches above whatever the Broncos have. Justin Herbert is five notches above whatever the Broncos have, and Patrick Mahomes is 10 notches above whatever the Broncos have.
Yep, exactly. And you don't stand a chance. And what do we come back to? Year after year, Ryan, every conversation leads to what? Leads back to quarterback, not head coach. That's why this doesn't matter. I mean, it matters a little bit, but it does not matter as much. Everyone wants to point the finger at Vic, and yes, he is not without blame. There are plenty of reasons to fire him, but frankly, this isn't the biggest decision.
I don't know if the fans that are watching this realize that we have to yell over the music. Like, because we're so close to the mic. Because, like, I can barely hear you.
Right.
But I don't know.
Are we just screaming?
Right.
In their
if
ear
we're
holes?
Just yelling at them. Yeah. I mean, the quarterback position. You're right. It's the only thing that matters. And if they get it right, everyone's gonna look like a genius. And if they get it wrong, everyone's gonna look like an idiot.
Yeah. Same. Exactly. Same thing with George Payton. What did you say last year before George Payton was the general manager for the Denver Broncos for a single game? You said if he gets Aaron Rodgers, you build a statue outside the stadium. You know why? And you're absolutely right. Because you know the Broncos are going to have so much success if they get Aaron Rodgers. If they get Nathaniel Hackett this year, are you saying build the statue for George Payton right after they hire him and we still don't know the quarterback position? No, you're not. You're saying, okay, we got to wait and see.
I'm dead ass serious. If I was the coach and I had Aaron Rodgers, I would look like a genius.
Absolutely, you would. I'd bet on you for coach of the year.
And the challenge flags, which I actually feel like I'd be pretty good at. The challenge flags and the situational timeouts and all that other shit, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, Vic Fangio won't really have opportunity to blow games.
Yep.
And then, you know, maybe you get to the John Fox situation where you reach the peak and that's not the right coach to get you over the hump and then you have to fire him and move on.
Right.
But he'll have a winning record.
Yep.
And he's going to look like a really – and George Payton will look like a genius for keeping him around.
Yep. Do you think George Payton knows that it's all about the quarterback?
100%. And that's why I think he might keep him.
Exactly. Exactly. And the fact, Ryan, that they met, George Payton and Vic Fangio met this week, and George allowed Vic Fangio to present a plan to keep him, we know Vic Fangio's okay with throwing people under the bus and saying, I'm going to get rid of this guy, change things. I'm sure Vic Fangio went in there and said, Tom McMahon's gone, you can pick our next special teams coordinator. Pat Shermer's gone, you can pick our next special teams coordinator. And you know what? I have enough pieces on defense right now. Spend everything you need on the offensive side of the ball, giving it all to George Payton and saying, look, I'm going to take care of the defense. We're going to be fine. You and I will work together to get this offense right. And the fact that George gave him that opportunity doesn't guarantee that Vic's back by any means, but that's just another way that I think, okay, George is giving him the opportunity to stay. And today's game, one bad decision by Vic Fangio, but the rest of the game was not an embarrassment. And something you pointed at, Ryan, earlier in this podcast, you said the fans were great. And the fans were great. There were 14,000 no-shows, which is a lot. To be honest, I thought it was going to be more. I was expecting 20,000 plus.
I did too.
So while it was a terrible number, it was actually better than I thought.
Shout out Mother Nature for taking care of us.
Yes, seriously. Was there red in the stands? Yes, but I didn't actually think it was as overwhelming. Someone asked me, does it feel like a Chiefs home game? And I said, absolutely not.
Not even close.
The stadium was rocking. So from an ownership perspective, I don't think Joe Ellis has to step in after this game and say, we cannot bring Vic Fangio back because people will not be in the stands next year. That game did not feel like it at all.
I don't think that's the case. And again, you know, if there's one thing that Broncos fans have come to appreciate in the last 6 years, it's very good elite to elite defense. It's the only thing we have to hang on to.
Yep.
And there, I know in the back of some people's minds, they don't want to let that go.
No.
And the truth about Vic is no one realizes this. He's doing it insanely shorthanded. You know, no one can put on the type of defensive performances that his defenses have put on with the type of losses that they have. Everyone conveniently forgets Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell have been out almost the entire season.
Yeah.
This year, two starting inside linebackers. Today, Baron Browning goes out for a period. You've got Micah Kizer in there. I mean, you've got Jonas Griffith, who was brought in to help out Tom McMahon's sorry-ass unit. Like, all these guys, Vic Fangio's just throwing them out. Michael Ojemudia goes out there and just balls
today. The hell out.
He probably could have been king
exactly.
of the game.
Exactly.
Like, Vic Fangio is making something out of nothing in a lot of scenarios on the defensive side of the ball. And again, I am for letting go of him.
Yep.
I think it's time to go offense, but I think that Vic Fangio, George Payton is going to think about that quarterback conversation we just had and say, how can I even evaluate this guy with these quarterbacks?
Yep.
Now, there has been some reporting out there that like Vic went to him and said, get me Teddy Bridgewater, which I just don't think that happened.
I don't either.
I think that's a George Payton move.
Yes, I do too.
And I think when you hear that type of information, you wonder, where did that come from?
Right.
Maybe the guy who doesn't want to be blamed for that move.
Yeah, it's very true. Ryan, in speaking of Vic's defense and how it's become elite this year, and I know a lot of people are going to say scoring defense isn't everything.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. You hold teams to the fewest points. That's what matters. Vic's red zone defense is straight up fantastic, and it has been. That's something that's been consistent about his defense the past 3 years. It's been fantastic. And this year, third best right now, the third best scoring defense in the NFL. And one of the things he does so well is he contains Patrick Mahomes for the most part and contains Justin Herbert really well and can do really well against Derek Carr too, against those top shelf quarterbacks. Ryan, past six games, Patrick Mahomes has four games with a passer rating over 100. You know the two games that he did not have a passer rating of 100?
The Denver Broncos.
Against the Denver Broncos. Patrick Mahomes has been very hot this last 6 weeks, except against the Broncos. So, again, I'm just showing you the case that can be built for Vic, and it is an easy one, especially with someone who wants to give him the benefit of the doubt. And, Ryan, George Payton, from everything we've heard, wants to give him the benefit of the doubt. I talked with a source inside the Broncos yesterday, and this was their guess, but pretty well connected. And they said, and I said, what do you think happens with Vic? And they said, reluctantly, I think they move on. I think today was enough to take that reluctancy away and say, F it. I'm going to stick with him. I know there's a lot of fan pressure to get rid of him, but you know what? I'm going to stick with him because I don't have to be reluctant about this.
Again, I think there's a lot of things that George Payton is going to think about over the next 24 hours, which I think he was already leaning one way. You heard Adam Schefter earlier this week say the Denver Broncos want to keep Vic Fangio. And there it is.
And you know what?
They're going
to
do it.
If your general manager wants to keep the head coach, I don't think he should have to listen to the fans.
No.
And I agree, Ryan. Let him do it. Let George Payton succeed by his decisions or let him fail by his decisions. Ultimately, that's why you brought him in, right? You didn't bring him in to then let Joe Ellis decide who your coach is. And again, I know it's not what people want to hear.
I know. But I feel bad.
I'm trying to think about how George Payton should come about this decision. Because you know what I don't want? I don't want George Payton in a year to say, man, I really should have kept Vic, and I wanted to, but I just felt the pressure to not keep him.
And here's the truth. If the Broncos go into week one next year with Teddy Bridgewater as their quarterback, there will be zero fan excitement.
Right.
But
right,
you know what? Right. If they get a rookie, or if they get either of the veterans, or heck, you know what? If they got Kirk Cousins, that stadium will be full, it will be packed, and Broncos country will be pumped full of belief and hope and excitement.
Yep.
And that's regardless of who the coach is.
Yep.
It's all about the quarterback, and I think Vic Fangio, I've done that so many times. I think George Payton knows that.
Yep.
And I think in the end, that's what he falls back on is, I got to get this guy a quarterback, this is on me.
Absolutely. And Ryan, we have to get to our king of the game right now, which is, of course, our DraftKings Sportsbook king of the game, which is Drew Lock, the quarterback position.
Ooh, Ryan, you said this will get the comment section going.
Oh, man, let's bring up Drew Lock's name. And you know what? I really want to get this comment section spicy. Drew Lock had a great Tim Tebow performance today, Ryan. Look at these stats. 12 of 24, 162 passing yards, 35 rushing yards, two touchdowns, both on the ground. And, I mean, wasn't that second? The first rushing touchdown was kind of just any quarterback, like any semi-mobile quarterback could make that. But that second one, man, gave me Tim Tebow vibes. Like, it was that he could have slid at the 7-yard line, but no. He said, I've got my shoulders. I've got my Tim Tebow build. I'm going to take it into the end zone. And that's what Drew Lock did.
And that's what earned him king of the game in my eyes. I thought it was a really gutsy performance to use, like, a cliche term that we use with guys who didn't necessarily blow it up on the stat sheet. But I thought it was really gutsy. And the run for the touchdown was awesome. And the 3rd and 14 completion to Tim Patrick was awesome.
Yep.
And, you know, there were several plays in that game where I thought, man, Drew's really making it happen today, you know, by hook or by crook. Like, he's going to make something happen. And he was. And they were going to win the game on the heels of the running backs and his legs.
Yep.
If it wasn't for the fumble. Yep. And I thought Drew was kind of awesome today. Like, I really liked his performance again, it's not going to pop off the stat sheet, and all the people that hate Drew Lock right. are going to say 12 of 24, 50%, and there's nothing you can do with those people. Just the same way that if you wanted to talk to someone who thinks Drew Lock should be the starter next year, there's nothing you can do yep. to convince them that that's not the case.
Today was absolutely, you like Drew Lock, he had a good game. You don't like Drew Lock, he had a bad game.
Same thing with Vic.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I don't know. He also had he almost made that throw to Tim Patrick in the end zone to tie the game.
Yep.
It was a really tight window. He threw it about as good as you possibly could into that, and defender made a nice play. You got Cortland Sutton dropping that ball at the end of the half, which yeah. probably would have got them into field goal position. So he's definitely the king of the game, in my opinion, unless you went Oge. And I would totally support going Oge as well.
And this was his first game in this season. Yeah. How incredible is that? I mean, that's got to give you confidence going forward. And what did you think? Was it an overthrow by Drew or a drop by Jerry in the first half when Jerry was wide open, had a couple steps on him?
It's not a drop, but it's a would like to see you lay out play.
Okay. And to me, man, he did it later in the game to Jerry Jeudy. After overthrowing Jeudy and I believe Cortland Sutton later, but he put more air under the ball. Yeah. And that's something that Drew has to learn. And at times it seems like he's learned, but at most, more times than not, it seems like he hasn't learned. He put air under it and gave Jeudy a
chance. Is that the first time we've ever seen Jeudy just get an opportunity? Oh, since he mossed the dude against the Jets last year for Brett Rypien.
Yep.
That's the first time I've seen him just get a chance.
Yeah.
Give these guys a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's unbelievable. What did you think? Tim Patrick play? Should that have been interference?
Man, I don't know. It was...
He got him under the arm.
He did.
Kind of hooked him under the arm. That's where I thought that should be an easy flag.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's a tough one. They weren't calling really anything deep in the secondary today.
Ryan, my last take on the offense really quick. Cortland Sutton's over-under was 32.5 coming into this game. Not with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback, with Drew Lock at quarterback, the guy everyone thought who was going to give him the chances. One catch, 13 yards. I cannot believe that at 32 over-under, it was legit to take the under, and he hit it by almost three times. Crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely fair to start worrying about that.
That's something that we'll certainly have plenty of time this offseason for. Wow.
It's unfortunate. Off-season. It's unfortunate for him. Unfortunate for Tim. Tim's got a little case of the dropsies. And that sucks. But it's unfortunate for those guys that we've got a whole offseason to talk about them.
Right.
And what can we possibly say other than, oh, well, if they get a quarterback, it'll look better.
Right.
But if they don't, you know, or at least until then, all we can say is it didn't look very good.
Right. And there's been too many things, especially with Court, these past couple weeks, where it's not necessarily all the quarterback's fault, Ryan.
No, it's not. I mean, Court, easy drop today. Also, great throw. Good job, Cortland.
And that was something about my, you know, comparing Drew to Tebow for a little bit of this game. It was until late in the in the first half when Cortland Sutton had more passing yards than Drew Lock.
No way.
Yes, he had 17 passing yards. Drew Lock had 16. And late into the first half, and then at halftime, Ryan, Drew Lock had more rushing yards than he had passing yards. And it was just – that was something that just made it such a fun game. Now, at the very end, it made it frustrating. But we had way more fun of a game than I thought we were going to have.
Yep, 100%. And that was one of my hesitations with going.
Yeah.
It's like, am I really going to go sit in there and watch him get beat 30-3 or something? Like, that sounds terrible. And I'm glad I went. I had a great time. As it relates to those guys, you're going to need a lot more. Now, again, it's going to come down to the quarterback. What I worry about, though, is with a rookie. Because there's no guarantees of a rookie being a better distributor of the ball than Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock.
Yep.
Now, over time, they better be.
Yeah.
Or you screwed up big time.
Yep.
But to start, you know, I think one of the reasons you kept those guys was to give your quarterback, whoever it may be, weapons. But those guys have to do better for those quarterbacks.
Yep. Yeah, they absolutely do, especially if you don't get an elite quarterback next year, Ryan. Especially if you need these guys to step up for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, before we move on, a shout-out to Strava Craft Coffee, Zach. It's probably going to be some early mornings and late nights for us over the next, you know, 72 hours or so as we figure out what the Broncos are doing at the head – oh, my God. Sorry.
Just that was an insane series with the Avs right now.
I cannot believe you saved that. Anyways, it's some late nights, some early mornings. Strava Craft Coffee going to take care of us with CBD-infused coffee to not only give us that morning kick, but also help us out with headaches, migraines, joint pain, anything that you may be experiencing. A little CBD in the beginning of your morning should really, really help. Oh, my God, what a save. check out our friends over at Strava Craft Coffee.
And check out our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook, where, Ryan, not only are they giving you new users a chance to turn $5 into $200, all you have to do is bet $5 on any NFL team or college team to win, and you will get $200 in free bets if they win. But also right now, Ryan, they're just handing out free profit bets left and right. They give you a same-game profit boost today, and on for the National Championship game, they're giving you a bonus profit boost. If you opt in, you're either going to get a 5% profit boost, 10% profit boost, 25% profit boost, or 50% profit boost. Again, you don't need to pay anything. All you do is opt into that. I did mine today, got a 25% profit boost. You know I'm using that on Alabama Moneyline to smash them up to above plus 150. So there's no reason to not get in right now with both of these offers. You should get in and use code DNVR over at DraftKings Sportsbook when you do to get set up with these offers. And of course, you must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And on top of that, really quick, legal gambling just opened in New York today. So sign up with DraftKings.
Hell yeah. I had Melvin Gordon to score a touchdown today.
Money. So.
That was in. That's a goal. Let's go.
Of course, Ryan's talking about the Avs just scored a goal.
Let's go, boys. Sorry. This is a great game going on.
It is.
I'll focus back in after the ad reads. Anyways, we're good, yeah?
We got some sexy pizza up here, Ryan. Hell yeah. And, I mean, we this is a day full of sexy pizza because, of course, we start our day with sexy pizza at the tailgate. We're ending our day with sexy pizza, but you know what? It doesn't have to end there. If you use the code SEXYDNVR from today through Wednesday, you'll get 20% off your order of sexy pizza by using the code DNVR or SEXYDNVR over at Sexy Pizza Online. When you do that, you get 20% off. So when you're watching ball all tomorrow, when you're hearing us potentially do an emergency pod about how Vic was fired, maybe
please
even
don't
how he's retained. Seriously. You can use code SEXYDNVR and stay sexy with sexy pizza.
All right, yeah, I love that sexy pizza. I honestly couldn't have any today because I'm on a diet, but I really wish I could. Really wish I could. All right, Super Chats.
That's a goal.
It's a good goal. What are we doing here? Let's move on.
Let's get to the Super Chats and talk to the people, Ryan.
All right, Alaska Preston comes in. Thank you for a season of great content. Coming to the bar, meeting you guys was the highlight of the last few years being a Broncos fan. God bless DNVR. Thank you so much. Thank you for all your support. Thanks for coming down. I think the first time we met you was at the Thursday night game, which was awesome, and saw you a couple times since then. So everyone who made this season special, not only were the watch parties awesome at the bar, but the tailgates were like revolutionary.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Sundays without them now, and I look forward to just making them better and better as the years go on. So thank you to everyone who made those special. And really, you know, we have so many little sub-communities within our community, and the Sunday tailgate community, which had a lot of regulars, was so fun. So shout out to everyone.
It really was. Shout out to everyone for rolling with us. And it's crazy, Ryan. In the past 2 hours since the game ended, I've got so many messages on Twitter and seeing them on our live chat of people saying, thank you so much for the great coverage this season. And I still, it's not really the off season. Yeah. It doesn't feel like the season's over because you
know
what?
There will be no off season this year.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah, yeah. We're, and there are some people that are tuning in live for the first time. We do this year round. We're five days a week. Anytime Broncos stuff happens, we're here for you. When Broncos stuff isn't happening, which will not be this offseason, but when it doesn't happen, we're still here for you on this podcast. And of course, if you're tuning in on YouTube, please hit us with a thumbs up, subscribe, turn on alerts so you know anytime we're going live. But we've got a whole company here over at thednvr.com. You can find us anywhere on podcasts. Just search Broncos. We'll be the first one that comes up.
Hell yeah, yeah. I love meeting people in the stadium. And, you know, a lot of people say, how did you get that jacket? And it's a great icebreaker for me to say, well, you know, they sponsor our podcast and this, that, and the other thing. And so many people are, you know, still haven't found us.
Yeah.
Spread the word.
Yeah.
Spread the word like a little bit. We do this over 300 days a year.
Insane.
Kind of crazy to think about that. 300 days a year. So shout out to you, Alaska, Preston, and everyone else. All right, let's go to the next one. From DTL, thank you for a very generous super chat. Fangio can't possibly be back because by my count, that's his sixth time he has lost this team in 3 years. So I guess to expect two more losses next year from him. You know what? The one thing that I have the hardest time getting past when I'm making my case for why Vic Fangio should not be back is the four-minute defense.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yep.
Cannot get a stop when they need it. And then the two-minute defense. Can't get a stop when they need it to. For a team with such great players, that is a big, big problem.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And DTL, I think we talked about how I think Vic will go into that meeting with Pat Shurt or with George Payton and say, you can hire the next offensive coordinator. You can hire the next special teams coach. You know what else I think he could say? You can hire a game management coach, and I will go by him.
He'll do whatever.
Yes, exactly. I think he's going to do whatever, and that's something that maybe we'll see that will take some stress off Broncos fans. Again, there's plenty of reasons to move on from Vic. I'm not trying to defend him. I'm trying to view it through the person that's making this decision, and that's George Payton.
Yeah, and again, the number one thing that no one really wants to talk about, the ultimate elephant in the room to me, is the ownership situation. No one ever wants to talk about anything as it relates to the owner because, it's like billionaire bullshit. Yeah. You know, like no one wants to talk about that. But in this,
never a good owner conversation.
As AJ saying, owner conversations suck. It just, you know, and
unless it's Peyton Manning,
right? Well, everyone will love that. But the overarching point is, no one wants to really acknowledge how much of a role that's going to play in the decisions the Broncos make over the next few days. And I think they're not going to have a choice but to acknowledge it after those decisions are made. If we're right, kind of, I hope we're wrong.
Yep. Very good point. All right, next one coming in from Thomas. Wow, another goal. Ryan maybe closing the bar down. Tied it up. Down 4-1. Now it's all tied with 8 minutes left in the game. Ryan, looks like you're going to be here for a while.
I would love nothing more than to be here until 2 a.m. tonight.
Let's go, baby. And then wake up at 5 when the news breaks.
How did they score this goal? You can keep reading it.
It's a great question. Okay, Thomas comes in. He says, you guys need to clip the tinfoil hat section. It will blow up on Twitter. Oh. Love the pod. Yahir, super producer. You hear that? That's what we're clipping, baby. He's got it. Thank you, Thomas. We appreciate you. All right, next super chat coming in from Rat Pat X. Just a super chat. We love you, Rat Pat.
We appreciate that very, very much. Appreciate you.
Easy E says, great job on covering the Broncos this season, fellas. Alex, we really appreciate you, and thank you so much for rolling with us. Of course, you are a regular in our comment section, and we really appreciate you.
And a stalwart of the Madden League.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Next one from Ian B. says, this I'm a quarterback away stuff doesn't sit well. We lost to the third string Browns, the Steelers, coachless Raiders, decimated by Jalen Hurts, etc. Ian B., thank you. You have a point on the Browns, the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger.
Is legit?
It's kind of, this year kind of hit or miss, but he can be a good quarterback in games. We've seen that. The coachless Raiders? No. I think you mean the Derek Carr Raiders, the team that's on the fringe of making the playoffs and dismantled by Jalen Hurts. I know Philadelphia fans hate Jalen Hurts. The Eagles sat Jalen Hurts. You know why? Because he's a playoff really starting caliber quarterback, and he's that valuable. So, Ian, I think your argument only holds up in that regard to losing to the third string Browns. And, by the way, that was the second string Browns in terms of their quarterback.
Well, that and on top of that, there's so – you can build a case for why you should fire Vic Fangio.
Absolutely.
I agree with your case. But you can also build a case the other way.
Yeah.
And it's easier to stay than it is to move.
It is. It is. Especially when George Payton has a great working relationship with Vic Fangio. They're both football grinders, football lifers. No one likes to grind on film and be in the building more than Vic Fangio. No one.
To a detriment.
Yes, exactly. I think there's too much overthinking about it. But you know what? I don't think George Payton sees that as a detriment, Ryan. I think he views that as, oh my gosh, this is my guy.
The rest of the coaching staff is
yes.
Who wonders, when's Vic going to go home so right. I can go home?
Yep, exactly.
All right, last couple here. One from Jorge here. This game, far from being a reason to bring Fangio back, it's a clear example of why you have to fire him. This man can't get out of his own way. And this is exactly what we talked about with Drew and Vic.
Yep.
If you want to build a case one way or the other, this game will give you that case.
Yep. Exactly. Absolutely. And last one from Funky Puma says, love all what DNVR does. Keep it up. And Funky Puma, I love that. We're going to keep it funky this offseason. There's no doubt.
Three Ring Circus will be back.
Oh, yeah.
I've already got some really fresh ideas for what we're going to do. And also guests. I want to get some little more off the beaten path guests this year. So stay tuned for that.
I love you. And Ryan, we talk about football guys. George Payton, one of them. You'd say Andy Reid is one of them as well, right?
Big
and Patrick
guy.
Mahomes seems to be developing into one of those as well. Both of them after the game giving tons and tons of praise to Vic Fangio. Should you keep a guy based on what opposing players and coaches say? No. But you know what? Again, if you want to build the case to keep him, you can say, George can say, man, Andy Reid really likes him. I like this guy too.
Yeah, I mean, he's made their life really difficult.
He really has.
Both of those guys know in the back of their head, if the Broncos had any semblance of an offense, they would have lost both games to them this
Very
year.
Very true. Very true. 28 points against the Chiefs should give you a chance. Not necessarily an automatic win, but you know what? 22 points earlier this year.
Well, 7 of those came on offense.
Yeah, and 3 of them came on special teams. So really, 13 points against the Chiefs, you win 100% of the time. Wait, not 100% of the time, because the Broncos didn't win earlier this year.
It's crazy. But you should honestly win when you give up 21 points on defense to the Chiefs.
Yep. Oh, and again, 21 points on defense.
Right.
Yep. Good point.
Exactly.
And all I right. think one more super chat coming in under the wire from Mr. Stewmy says, video game controller hobbies along unhappily with a broken arm. We had a super sticker there, Ryan.
Video game controller hobbles along unhappily with a broken arm. I bought a new Xbox controller yesterday because mine had a hobbly arm.
You broke the arm, huh?
No, I didn't. Maybe from just grinding so hard on Madden.
That's what it sounds like.
I never throw controllers. Never have, never will.
Did you also buy a new TV because there was a big crack in it from maybe a controller?
No cracks in my TV. I don't throw clubs on the golf course. I don't slam clubs on the golf course. I don't slam my Xbox controller.
You don't take your jersey off in the middle of a game and run across the field?
No, but maybe I should.
Yeah, maybe you should. It'd make for good podcasting. Take your shirt off and leave, Ryan.
All right, guys. That's all we have on the Super Chat front. I don't even want to do this because there's no, ending. This isn't really tying a bow on anything, but I feel compelled to just say thank you guys for riding with us all season. It's been up. It's been down. It's always interesting, as it is with the Broncos.
Yeah.
And you guys have been there with us every single step of the way, and that means the world to us. Hopefully, one day we're sitting here on a week 18 talking about another game coming up. And when that happens, I can't wait to share that experience with all of you. And it'll be more meaningful that we all shared all these experiences together, and the frustrating ones and, the fights and the arguments and all that. And one day it's all going to culminate in something much more exciting and much better. And we'll all remember the people like you guys who were in the comment section back now. So again, thank you guys so much for riding with us all season. But there's a chance we'll just be right back with you tomorrow.
Yep.
And if it's not tomorrow because the Broncos make a move with the coach, then we'll be back on Monday, of course, as always. And we'll be back with you 5 days a week throughout the offseason. And I can't wait to share that experience with you guys as well. So thank you guys so much for riding with us. Thank you, Zach. Of course, Mace, who's not with us on the post-game shows.
Thank you, RK.
Thank you. And everyone at the bar and all that. It means the world to us. You guys – allow us to live our dream on a daily basis. And we can't thank you enough for that. So have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon on the DNVR Broncos podcast.
I'll take you back.